Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, May 14th, 2017. Laura Levin gave the lay message on this Mother's Day. The message today is from our worship series, OMG, Jesus is Alive, the story behind the story. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel reading is from John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25.
In prayer?
Yes. Dear God, we pray that your presence with us will open our eyes and open our ears to your message for us. We bless Laura in her giving us the message this morning, and bless our hearts. Help us to remember that you are both mother and father to us, and that all of us can do the same for others. We all have a mother, and we remember our dear mothers at this time, and our grandmothers as well. God, help us to continue your loving spirit through the days and weeks and months. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please go ahead and be seated.
You may be seated. I'm going to be sharing with you the Old Testament reading. This comes from Isaiah 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, and the young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the people. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Amen.
Good morning. Please listen to this morning's New Testament scripture from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. This is a disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. Would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, you are sovereign over all circumstances, and you have seen fit for all of us to be in worship together this glorious morning. Thank you, Lord, for your provision, for your word, for your Holy Spirit who changes us. I pray that the meditations of all our hearts and the words of my mouth are pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. When Pastor Wendy told me that this would be the scripture that her sermon would have been based on if she were here today, I thought, oh, that's short. Okay. And then I just, you know, what struck me is picturing the world overflowing with books. And that had me thinking about all the stories in all those books. And so that's what led to my message this morning. Stories are as innumerable as the sands on the shore. From the first written tale of Gilgamesh to Gilmore Girls and Game of Thrones today, stories animate human life. I come from a family of very lively storytellers, starting with my grandmother. And any member of my family, none of us can really stay seated while we tell a story, and it came from her. I remember, especially I was about 7 years old, she was babysitting me, and she told me a story of when she was a teenager, and she was walking down Main Street with a bunch of her friends, and one of the boys of the group dared her to stand on her head. He said, "You will not stand on your head on Main Street." She goes, "Oh, yes, I will." She was really feisty. And she's telling me this story, and she's demonstrating. She said, "So I took off my sweater, and I folded it out of, and kind of threw it on the ground, getting ready to stand on my head. And as I bent over, I realized I'm wearing a skirt." And she said, "I just waited for a second. I thought, I'm wearing my best slip." And then she said, and then she stood on her head. And the best thing was, she was like in her mid-60s. She did stand on her head when she's telling me this story, and she was wearing a dress. I remember her white slip with the lace on the end. It was hilarious. So, you know, obviously today is Mother's Day, so I'm wearing my pearls. It's like the only time out of my wedding that I wear my pearls. I have dozens of stories about my hilarious grandmother and my amazing great-grandmother that raised my mom. And my brave and beloved and long-suffering mother who raised 7 kids on a farm in Michigan. I have lots of stories there, but a lot of them I couldn't say here. Anyway, don't we all have those stories in our lives? You know, we have these favorite stories. Storytelling has been used as a teaching tool and an entertainment form, you know, basically since the beginning of human speech. Ancient tales from every culture were used to teach virtues of honor, integrity, loyalty, hard work, and self-sacrifice. And they also acted as cautionary tales, too. And these aspects of storytelling continue today, even though often in a more complicated or nuanced fashion. Experiencing a story in any of its forms can help explain and shape something about ourselves. Stories take us out of ourselves while simultaneously revealing something about ourselves and our very reactions to the stories, right? Stories have the power to change us. It's believed by most historians and psychologists that storytelling is one of the many things that define and bind our humanity. Stories are important, as my creative writing literature major daughter would tell you that. It's true. And so we come again to today's scripture passage from John. It's so short, let me read it again. "This is a disciple who is testifying to these things and has written them. And we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." I used to read these sentences. It's the ending of the gospel. And I thought that John was simply using, like, colorful language when he wrote it. I mean, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. Isn't that hyperbole? Or maybe John was being ironic, because in the very sentence right in front of it, he says, "We know this to be true." And then he goes on to say this kind of outrageous sentence. And now I think, looking at it, John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that. He is absolutely right. And I'm convinced of that, and I hope to convince you of that as well. The English writer G.K. Chesterton said, "I had always felt life first as a story. And if there is a story, there is a storyteller." Today's scripture passage is from the end of John's Gospel. In the famous beginning, John, speaking of Jesus, says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Greek word he uses for the word Word, of course, is logos. It's not a midweek children's program. Logos is a word from which we get our word logic or reason. John goes on to say in verse 3 and 4, "Through him," meaning Jesus, "all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." John is, in essence, calling Jesus the very reason for life. Life is not simply history. Life is his story. And if there is a story, there is a storyteller. Let's revisit the scripture from a few weeks ago in Luke 24, where Jesus confronts the disciples on the road to Emmaus on the day of his resurrection. Verse 27 reads, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." So the scriptures they knew at the time, of course, were just the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. What might Jesus have referred to? Let's consider a few Old Testament stories. Moses left a princely life in a palace to live a shepherd's life in the desert, to ultimately, with God's help, save his people from slavery. Jesus was a more perfect Moses, who left not just a palace, but heaven itself, to live a life of poverty on earth and deliver his people from death itself. Part of the Exodus story is that the blood of a perfect lamb, sacrificed in faith to save a household and painted over the doorpost, protected those who trusted in it from the angel of death. Jesus is the ultimate spotless lamb, as John the Baptist said, and Jesus' blood was powerful enough to protect all humanity from the consequences of our sin, which is eternal death. King David, when he was just a young shepherd boy, he knew God was with him, and he battled and killed the giant Goliath without any armor or sword of his own. He saved his army from the Philistines. Jesus is the more perfect David, who slew death itself. And again, not by power, but through weakness. Joseph of the many colored coats was falsely accused and imprisoned unfairly until, with God's help, he rose to become Pharaoh's right-hand man. And through his wisdom, he ended up saving his Israelite family and all of Egypt from famine. Jesus was a more perfect Joseph, who was also unjustly accused and tried, but his prison was a tomb because he was crucified in order to take upon himself the punishment that we deserve. Finally, Jonah ended up in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Everyone must have thought he was dead. After being released from the fish, he preached to Nineveh, a town of extreme violence, that then turned to God and experienced God's love and forgiveness. Jesus is the more perfect Jonah. He lay in his tomb for 3 days to emerge not just alive, but resurrected, to vindicate everything he said about himself, and to spread the message of God's love to all of us and the forgiveness that is free to us, but it cost him so much. And the similarities go on and on. Isaac, Daniel, Esther, Boaz. You can see how today's prophetic Old Testament passage that Jane read is speaking about Jesus as the root of Jesse. You know, Jesse is an ancestor to Jesus. Jesus is the root of Jesse. At the beginning of that passage, we talk about things that we know about Jesus already. The end of the passage is talking about Jesus in our future. It's pretty exciting when you start looking at the Old Testament and looking for Jesus in the Old Testament. Basically, all the tales of the Hebrew Scriptures are ultimately his story. There's this wonderful children's Bible called the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's by Sally Lloyd-Jones, and it illustrates this whole thing beautifully. Here's an excerpt from the intro. No, the Bible is not a book of rules or a book of heroes. The Bible is most of all a story. It's an adventure story about a young hero who comes from a far country to win back his lost treasure. It's a love story about a brave prince who leaves his palace, his throne, everything to rescue the one he loves. It's like the most wonderful fairy tale that has come true in real life. It takes the whole Bible to tell this story. And at the center of this story, there is a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like the missing piece in a puzzle, the piece that makes all the other pieces fit together, and suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. I gave this Bible to Catherine Reese when she adopted Raymond and Dee Dee. Raymond was a 9-year-old boy. He knew nothing about the faith. And so she read this to him every night, and he had never been read to either. And I just love this. At the end of the story, when she finished the book and closed the cover, he said, "Is there a sequel?" Love that story. So, if you accept that the entire Bible is actually about Jesus and how he manifests God's love for humankind, there are a few more books to put on John's bookshelf. Okay, 66 if you're Protestant, and there's more if you're Catholic. So, let me pause here, though, to tell you a story. Some of you may know this story. It's a true story from World War II. To aid their effort during the war, the Japanese government built a railroad between Thailand and Burma, enlisting prisoners of war and Asian laborers in the effort. It was nicknamed the Death Railway for the over 10,000 men who died during its construction. A British POW retold this story. At various times during a workday, the workers would line up and the shovels and picks used were counted. In the middle of one day, a shovel was missing at the count. The Japanese officer in charge demanded that the culprit admit his crime, which would mean certain death. No one stepped forward. The demand was repeated. Again, no one moved. So the officer screamed, "Then all die, all die!" As the rifles were aimed at the work party, one man stepped forward. The rifles were lowered, but the man's beating began. He was beaten until his head was finally crushed by the butt of a rifle. They left his body lying in the dirt where it lay, and work went on. At the next count, the missing shovel was found. That worker, innocent of the crime, had given his life to save the others. How do you feel after hearing that story? Yeah. Does it make you wonder what you would do in his place? Yes. Do you see Jesus in that story? Yes. Now I'd like you to take a moment to think of another story, real or fictional, one of your favorites. One whose beauty really moves you. Just take a minute. What was the last movie or book you cried over? Now let me ask you, what is it about the stories we love that makes our hearts swell and our throat tighten, our hand reach for the Kleenex? What is it about these stories that produces a kind of deep longing or ache within us when we experience them? What is it? Don't we long for these beautiful tales to somehow be true? These tales that show honor, victory from defeat, undying love, self-sacrifice, true reconciliation, faithful friendships, amazing endurance, courage in overwhelming odds, even life from death. Don't we want these things to be a part of our lives? Don't we want to be like the people in these stories? Don't we want these stories to somehow be true? A story that exhibits all these qualities to me is the Lord of the Rings trilogy, an amazing adventure where evil is defeated and the rightful and righteous king ultimately takes the throne. My favorite living apologist today is Reverend Tim Keller from Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, and he says this, quote, "The reason for the old myths about kings, the reason we adore kings and create them, is because there is a memory trace in the human race, in you and me, of a great king, an ancient king, one who ruled with power and wisdom and compassion and justice and glory. We know we were built to submit to that king, to stand before and adore and serve and know that king." End quote. A memory trace. Romans 1 says that humans instinctively know by observing nature that there is a God who created this world. I believe that something physically within us remembers that this world was made to be perfect, a place full of love and beauty, a place without pain and tears or illness or death. I believe that's why these stories resonate with us. We automatically respond to the beauty of the perfect world that God created. When we see glimpses of that perfection, it triggers that longing because God's put it in our hearts to desire those things. And as believing Christians, we can know, we can have the privilege of knowing on a conscious level that Jesus has won the victory. And so the world ultimately will be a place of peace and justice. God will make things right and new, as Jane read in today's Old Testament passage. The Bible offers these lovely, comforting assurances too. Psalm 56 says that God keeps a record of our tears. Isaiah 49 says that a mother will forget her nursing child before God will forget us. Matthew 10 says that the hairs on our head are counted, and that not a sparrow falls to the ground outside of the Father's care. Christians can believe in the tender love the Father has for us in his creation. It was proven on the cross of Christ. God passed the required sentence of death on our sin, Romans 6, and then took that punishment on himself. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, the heavens and earth will be renewed and everything sad will come untrue, as the character Sam says in The Lord of the Rings. Christians can know there is a handsome prince who will defeat the evil sorcerer and will kiss us awake to the beauty of his love. There is a beauty who is willing to sacrifice herself for others, whose love makes beautiful the beast within. Like Peter Pan, we will have bodies that will never grow old, and will not just walk, we'll fly, Isaiah 40. Jesus' story of redemptive love is not one more story. His story is the reality, capital R, Oswald Chambers would say, that these other stories echo and reflect. His story is the bedrock story. Yes, the beautiful stories throughout history and into our future are his story. As John said, even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Indeed. Okay, so what do we do with this? What is the practical application? We need to look for his story in every story. And why should we do that? To let his story change us and strengthen our faith. We cannot have enough reminders of the lengths that God went to save us from ourselves and show his love. Look at the empty cross, meditate on the cosmic story it represents. Jesus lived a perfect life we should have lived and died the death we deserve. He's removed our sin and given us his perfect record. We become Christians once we appropriate the beauty of that fact for ourselves and accept his sacrifice on our behalf. When we become Christians, we have his Holy Spirit living in us. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We need to remember that. Let his story fill you with hope and strengthen your faith. Oswald Chambers says, faith is not a pathetic sentiment, but robust, vigorous confidence built on the fact that God is holy love. The real meaning or logos of eternal life is a life that can face anything it has to face without wavering. And if we take this view, life becomes one great romance, a glorious opportunity for seeing marvelous things all the time. End quote. Don't you want to have a faith like that? Wouldn't you like to walk around with that kind of confidence and joy? Countless martyrs had that faith. Perhaps that railroad worker had that faith. I encourage you to keep that faith in front of you by looking for his story in every story. Let the true story of God's love and our ultimate future free us from our fears and transform all of us into the people we were created to be. Confident that we are loved to the core, filled with gratitude and praise, and knowing we have the Holy Spirit's power within us to be those loyal, courageous, self-sacrificing, and loving people that are just like in all of our favorite stories. Friends, we are the sequel. We need to remember his story, make it our story, and fill the world with it. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.